I am so glad you played this one right now. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. If you're my age or maybe a little older, a little younger, you have definitely done the Shawn Michaels walk down to the ring when you're out taking a walk and do the pose and everything in honor of WrestleMania, doing some wrestling themes. Let's say hello to Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. What's up, Sean? How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I went to Shawn Michaels' last WrestleMania with my, at the time, 11-year-old son for his birthday in Houston. And then that scoundrel came back and wrestled him like 20 more of them.
I know. Look, when a wrestler says they're going to retire, they never truly retire.
No, it was like the farewell tour. I did it 7 times.
Yeah, exactly. How many WrestleManias have you gone to with your kids?
Three. Okay. Yeah. Atlanta, Orlando, and Houston.
Very cool. Well, you'll have to knock Nashville off whenever that happens, hopefully here in a few years.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. And that'll be fun. I remember when we first brought that to the table, there were a few people in town that thought it was just goofy. And now those same people are, like, championing it. Like, oh, my gosh, we got to do it. I mean, if you've never been before, you don't realize how impactful it is for a city. And it doesn't have the media of a Super Bowl, but it has a lot more visitors and a much longer stay. I mean, it's an incredible show if you've never been.
Well, and, you know, Joe and I were talking about it this morning that I explained to him that not only now it's a two-night show, do you get two nights at the stadium, but, you know, Bridgestone would have 3 or 4 events throughout the week that, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's a spectacle. It's basically a week long.
It is. It's an 8-day event. And because of that, I mean, you literally get like 9 or 10 hotel room stays per attendee. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And I will say it. That from a guest services or customer service standpoint, or entertainment standpoint, they go over the top. They bring all their legends in. And like, I'm not a huge wrestling fan like you. One of my sons are, but we all enjoy it, you know, you know, how they put on the show. It's great.
Sean Henry is with us. So I know you've had a couple of days to decompress a little bit. The season has come to an end. The players will be available to us in the media and Andrew Brunette as well. This afternoon, we'll hear from Barry Trotz next week, but you know, and you obviously are going to have more time to kind of decompress and think about things. Didn't go the way you all had planned or wanted, but what are kind of some thoughts now that the season has come to an end?
Well, fortunately, we've had some time to decompress, you know, over the past few weeks. In reality, once you realize that the playoffs weren't going to happen, you know, it does change the focus a little bit. And I give so much credit to, you know, Scotty Nickel, rotating guys up and down from Milwaukee, you know, given that NHL experience, which will be invaluable. And making sure that our guys are heading down back to Milwaukee to make sure we get on a good playoff run there. You know, Barry always talks about serial winners, and you want guys that win at all levels. And you look at our past few draft years, it's about picking guys that won at juniors or in college or, you know, that sort of thing. So it really is about getting ready for next year. And, of course, the season didn't go the way we wanted or expected. I mean, I know you had us forecasted to go, I think, 81-1 and then 16-0 in the playoffs. And we're all very optimistic. You know, what we did last summer did pay some dividends, though, because it did allow some young guys to pair with some veterans, see how they prepare. You know, when you see a Ryan O'Reilly or Stamkos playing their, whatever, 1,100th game and watch them work out after the game and how they prepare on the off day or on the road, that really is important. And, you know, you look at a couple of teams that have taken a step backwards, even though they're a really competitive team the year before, and they launch forward. You know, when you get a top 5 pick, you got 2 other first round picks, you're going to be putting someone on this roster next year, ideally, that can contribute at a high level. And then you'll see some of those young guys come on up. Pair that with our pretty good core of veterans. Not pretty good. I mean, all-star level veterans. You expect everyone to get back to where you expect them to be. And next year could be a pretty exciting season.
I'm going to sound like Zig Ziglar here. Sean Henry's on the phone with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. You've been through this, right? I mean, in your career, you've been where there's been bad seasons. We've talked about this, right? And on your overall career?
Well, I mean, you're painting me as a loser, but I was counting it up. I've missed the playoffs 9 times out of, 35 years or so in the teams I've been around. And probably 7 of those 9 years, you thought maybe you make the playoffs, but probably not. You know, you're on the rise. Only once or twice in my career Have you thought, we're going to be really competitive, and then just changed, expectation to reality? And that's a little bit harder. At the same time, you got to on the fly shift. And I'm just proud of our development guys and our hockey operations department that recognized where we were and decided to make some changes. And at the same time, open up some doors, for guys to come through. But, it's never fun. But I will tell you, in Nashville, it's different. We're very vocal or open about what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it, to a degree, of course. You're not going to completely unmask what you're doing. And, our fans respond. I mean, you look at what our fans did on that last game. It's a Wednesday night, might have been the prettiest day I've been alive for. And you have a full building, standing ovation at the end. Fun game, too. I mean, on a bad season, what a fun way to end. So I don't know what your question was, but yes, I've been around a team that made the playoffs.
It was going to be.
Thanks for reminding me, man. It's awesome. Maybe the worst Rams team ever 2 years in a row, which produced great draft picks like Tony Banks and Lawrence Phillips.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was saying, though, is that you go through the bad times, but good times happen. And when you get the good times, it makes you realize how fun it is and how grateful you are for those moments, because you have to go through the dark tunnel and everything else that goes on. But in October, it starts again, and we'll be excited again and ready to go again. I'm just saying, these things happen. And see, bad seasons happen. Every team has bad seasons, but it's the promise of tomorrow which keeps us coming back. So there's my TED Talk, Zig Ziglar talk wrapped up in one. You could use that today in your little meeting you're doing later on.
Well, I appreciate it. But you're so right. I mean, this part, I've been reading some things about, every team. I'm just a sports junkie like you guys are. And, the Ranger fans are a little angry right now. And, the Pollyanna Ranger fans are like, well, don't you remember in 92 and 93, we were the best team, or 91, 92, best in the league. 93, we stunk. 94, we won the Stanley Cup. But it's true. Like, the path isn't always straight. There's some curves in there, and you got to adjust to them. And that's where we're going to go. But it's funny you started that with Zig Ziglar. I don't like business books. I think they're the dumbest thing in the world. I really do. It's written by guys that have never done anything, but they have great quotes that they steal from, history. But there is one great business book, and it's written by Mike Vec, the son of Bill Vec, maybe the greatest sports promoter in the history of our industry. And it's called Fun is Good. And it's exactly what you just said, Joe. Celebrate when things are good, and when things are bad, don't get too down, but analyze them. Use them to, climb back out of it. But, when things are good, have fun with it, because you don't know when the next one's coming.
It could be worse. You could be a Buffalo Sabres fan, right?
I would never knock a Buffalo Sabres fan. My sister, for some reason, married into a Sabre family. The Sabres also own a Sweetener building, so I really I like the Sabres. I like their colors. I like Western New York. Their fans are pretty loyal. I mean, you look at Buffalo fans in general, forget about just Sabres. You talk about some heartbreak in, Western New York or Southern Canada, as I used to call it. Yeah, they're pretty loyal, but they're not as good as our fans. That's just a fact.
How have you, Sean Henry is with us, how much have you seen this fan base evolve since you first got here to now? I mean, because if you think about it, there was a group that was like, all about the Preds. They've been the day one people, but we all know what the run in 17 did for this franchise and for this fan base. And so, when you hear them get mad and they're, tweeting at you and tweeting at us and like, what are they doing and all that stuff? I mean, in some ways, you have to like that because it shows that they care.
Yeah, a vocal fan base is a great fan base, period. Whether you're happy or angry or confused, I mean, when people are communicating, the passion is there. But, before I got here, I went to two Predator games. I think the fifth or sixth game in the inaugural season, and then in 04, the first year the team made the playoffs. And, the first few games I went to, it was fun. It was new. It was unique. Like, Broadway wasn't Broadway at all. It wasn't even safe. Then in 04, though, you saw something very different. The building was almost full, but the passion of fans was incredible. So I was just so excited when I was offered this opportunity because you knew the passion that was there. But when I first got here in 2010 to today, I grew up in a town of 30,000 people. This community has two or three times that coming to the community every single year, moving here. So it's almost like three of my towns or two and a half of my towns moving to Nashville every year. That gives everyone an opportunity to convert those northern fans from X team to our team. Take those that weren't fans at all and make them Preds fans. And, the natural commercial that 2017 did for Nashville and this franchise had people coming here revved up. Like, I want to be a Preds fan. And, he kind of jumped on board. And, you know, they're good fans, and, you know, some are absolutely diehards, and some are, hey, you know, when things are going really well, I'm absolutely in. That's what you want. You want some fringe fans that really get excited when things are really good, but the heart of our organization is the core of Smashville. And those are the people that will – I'll get four emails after this. I mean, when I was on 2 weeks ago, you know, we had a very similar conversation. A gentleman wrote in, and he's angry. I mean, he just told me, basically, I should get fired. You know, he thought I insulted the fan base by saying how good they were despite us not playing well. And I just wrote back a love note. I was like, Thank you for reaching out. And obviously, the last thing you ever want to do is offend anyone for any reason. But you hate hearing those things, but at the same time, you better thrive on them. So I love when I get notes from people. But I'll tell you, Wednesday night, I got four presents from fans. One was just a funny, very thoughtful one. It was a pretzel M&Ms, just from a wonderful couple that I see all the time, both on the road and at home. And a really nice note talking about next year and where we're going, what we're doing. And, you know, two other really nice cards. One, a book, A History of Baseball of Nashville, really connect with some people. And that's what I love about being here. And I've worked all over the country, worked with every different league. There is no fan base like this. And a lot of people say that in other markets. The difference is here there's true connections between our players and the fans and our staff, the staff and each other and the community. And it's almost like we all mourn together, we cheer together, we yell at each other when things are bad. But out of that comes good constructive criticism to grow from.
Sean Henry is with us. So Barry said on Wednesday before the game when he went on with Jared that – you know, he's going to go through the process. You're obviously a part of that process. He'll talk to the players. He'll meet with you, meet with management, ownership, meet with his staff, and ultimately decide what the next steps are for the season. You know me. I'm one of those people that I'm not going to say, like, oh, it's a bad season, fire everybody. I don't believe that that's the case because I think there are deeper layers. And, you know, Bruno it was a tough year. I mean, that's just the best way to put it. So what is kind of your role in that process moving forward in improving this team and whatever those steps are?
Well, I mean, you just laid it out. You know, there are a lot of franchises, regardless of sport, that react, like, immediately. And I get news, that's never the right way. I mean, never. And, you know, I grew up, by the grace of God, a Yankee fan. And the sheer number of times Billy Martin got fired – or Yogi Berra got fired, or Lou Piniella got fired, or Dick Houser got fired, or G. Michael. Not one of them was right, and that's why they hired each one of those guys back. I mean, every guy I mentioned, managed the Yankees at least twice, if not more. The way Barry's approaching this is the right way on all things, and it's not about any individual person or staff or process. It's everything. And, you know, we do have some time right now to sit down. You know, the first step is Barry, and, you know, a few other people talking to every single player, you know, one-on-ones, what's good, what's bad, where are you, what could you have done differently, what could we have done differently, you know, that sort of thing. And out of that, you got a lot of really, really good seeds of what needs to be altered, added to, changed, modified. You know, we're doing a $11 million renovation of our locker room, this summer, and that's based on feedback we got, you know, throughout the season of things that guys want to see. And we're doing that prior to doing close to $1 billion renovation, you know, in the arena, ideally repurposing Centennial and changing what we're doing out there. But you have to listen to the, you know, your players of where you're going. You got to listen to your development staff, or coaching staff. And, you know, Barry's taking a very measured approach, as he should. And you look around the league right now, teams that didn't make the playoffs or knew they were going to make playoffs for the past month or two, are mostly taking a very similar approach. And then, you know, what we need to, you know, alter, improve on. You know, we have May, June, July, August to do. Unfortunately, we have April, May, and June to do it. But it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun preparing for the draft in June. You know, we're going to have a top five pick at worst. We could have the number one pick after the May 5th lottery. I have rabbit's feet in my office for you two guys, too, by the way. And, you know, and I really do. You check my Twitter, I put a picture out. I bought every gold rabbit's foot on Amazon. And right now, Jeff Bezos is trying to find a gold bunny to get me a few more. And I bought almost all the navy blue ones. So, but you think about the draft. We've got three number one draft picks.
Yeah.
You know, our first round picks, rather. That's something we've never enjoyed before. As a franchise, I think we've only had top five pick twice. This will be our third time.
That is correct.
Yeah, so if the right thing happens and we have a chance to move up to second or first, and the worst case is we move back to fifth. So we're excited about it. I'm so excited about it. I'd much more be excited about planning the playoff party for Saturday, but save that, it's an exciting period for the organization.
I think some have said, you know, wow, I mean, it's just a terrible season. I mean, there is a level of – we talk with Preds players during the week, Sean, and, I mean, they're mad, you know, because the season went that way. And I think it's okay to be mad at the team for all that. I think it's okay, right? Am I missing this? Because if you're passionate, you're mad.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, 2 years ago at the trade deadline, we moved out, you know, some really popular pieces, guys that defined who we were for the past 10 years or if not more. And the idea was, you know, let's take the next 2 or 3 years to, you know, take 2 steps back to take 5 forward. And again, the goal is written in concrete. You know, the path along that journey changes from time to time. We made the playoffs last year where, let's face it, I don't think there was a human on the planet outside of our organization that thought that was possible. So because of that, everyone expected what we did in July to build up on that and, you know, go right into a deep, deep, deep playoff run. I still look at this as a 2 or 3 year process, and I think we all do. Again, you don't know when you're going to take 5 steps forward because some guy or 2 guys or 3 guys just pop, and you don't know when maybe you take a step back because of some injuries or maybe, you know, some meshing just didn't happen the way you wanted it to. So, but with all that said, I don't care who you are and what team you root for. I don't know who the worst team in the history of sports are for a 10-year period of time. Even then, you expect and want your team to win. And when they don't, it's crushing. And if it's not, you're missing the best part of the roller coaster of sports. You know, you cry together and you celebrate together.
I got to tell you, one of the funniest things, I always laugh at this, because I've heard several people do this. Like, I just can't believe it. The Preds have only picked in the top 5 twice. And I kind of look at them and I go, you know that's a good thing, right? That means they've been successful.
It's funny. The other night, a gentleman was saying that to me, lecturing me about it, that that's pathetic. And I said, well, yes and no. Like, I'm not sure how to address that. You know, it would be great. You know, you look at Edmonton, I don't know, they've had 5 number 1 picks over a 10-year period of time. Chicago had, I don't know, 2 or 3, or they've had 5 top 5 picks in an 8-year stretch. Pittsburgh, same thing. Washington, same thing. At the same time, we were never in those depths, you know, where they were. And, you know, you look at what happened with Chicago and Washington and Pittsburgh, you know, maybe if you can go back in a time machine and trade it all and you only win 17 games or 20 games 4 years in a row, you'd want it. At the same time, you know, you have other franchises, the Oilers, Buffalo, you know, Detroit, you know, have had a lot of deep, deep picks, and they haven't tasted the other side of it yet. So I don't like when people talk about planned tanking, because right. I don't know of anyone that intentionally tanked that ended up having a parade in June. And I'm sure there's an example. I just can't think of one as a pretty decent sports historian.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. But I will say this, and, you know, Joe mentioned us getting the players on our show. We've been very grateful to have that, and Barry on with Jared, and Coach on with the morning show, you with us. And, you know, I say this, and it's important for me to say, we're partners. This is a partnership. But, you know, you could very easily say, hey, guys, I got something that's come up. I can't do this. You all have been so grateful with your time throughout the season and having tough conversations, honest conversations. And I know I appreciate it, and our listeners appreciate it. So thank you for that, Sean. And look, I know we're going to be talking a lot over the summer. You guys are going to have some really cool things coming out. You mentioned the locker room and the other renovations and reimagining of Bridgestone Arena that's going to be happening. But I just wanted to say that about this season in particular.
Well, that was a Jared Stillman-like question. It took about 2 hours to ask.
It wasn't a question. It was a statement.
Yeah, I don't want to turn this into a mutual admiration club, but it's easy to have us on when we're winning.
Sure.
Period. So sure. As much as you thank us for coming on when things aren't going well, same thing the other way. You know, we appreciate the opportunity to stay connected with each other. I mean, we've got a lot of calls from other media outlets, you know, when it's the first game of the playoffs Saturday. We get a lot of calls from the media. And last July 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, we were pretty popular among other stations and outlets. So we're just very thankful you let us come on and talk and connect, to our fans. I think that's really important. For the life of me, I don't understand why so many teams around the country hide when they're not playing well. To me, it's always important to connect. It's always important to be out there. And I think that's self-evident by the way we are as an organization. It's even more important to do so when things aren't going well. But sometimes it's hard to find that person who's going to let you do that. So I'm truly, I thank every one of your shows, you know, from the morning show to yours to the DVD, which is the best name in sports coverage, to obviously Company and Jared. It's just a up and down, you know, your time slots. You guys are really, really gracious and giving us an opportunity to talk. So thank you.
Well, absolutely. Sean, happy Easter to you and the family, and we will definitely be talking to you soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Happy Easter, and let's plan that trip to Atlanta with George Plaster. You guys, I know you always go without me all the time, but unfortunately, I have a little time right now in the spring, so let's go see some ball.
Let's get something together for sure. Thanks, Sean.
See you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, and went a little long there, but that was a good conversation. And again, the players are going to talk to the media this afternoon, as well as head coach Andy Brunette, and the process begins for resetting this team for next year. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.